Hey, man, what are you doing?
I'm just lying here relaxing in a stream. I call it streaming.
Okay, you know that word already has another meaning, right?
AFA Streaming offers free and subscription video content. Titles like By Design, The God Who Speaks, and Asbury Revival, Desperate for More. You'll also find video versions of AFR programs. Visit AFA.net and click on Streaming. Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
And indeed, welcome back to this Thursday edition of Today's Issues. And you're saying, well, that doesn't sound like Tim. No, it's not Tim. Tim has stepped out to a kind of family celebration gathering. And so we're going to continue on without Tim. Joining us in studio right now, as he always does, just after the 11 o'clock news, Central Time, is Steve Jordahl.
Hey, good morning. Does that mean we're in charge of the show now?
That means,
oh no.
Everybody gets a raise.
And we have Dr. Ray Pritchard in Kansas City, Kansas.
Thank you.
Yeah, getting over his overdose of pancakes.
Oh, I know.
From Branson.
It took me hours to recover from that. Hours.
Are you back on the bike yet?
I'm starting. It's finally gotten warm enough here in Kansas City. Yeah, I'm getting back on the bike. You know, Fred, that once you get past the radiation, mm-hmm. some of your energy starts to come back. And yes. I am feeling better this week. So, yeah.
Isn't that wonderful?
And you got to work off the pancakes. So
yes, sir. Yes, sir. I added about 20 right there. You
know. That's good. All right, Steve, what have we got?
Well, a lot of stuff happening in the medical world, COVID specifically. We found out a couple things over the last couple days. Let's start here. Yesterday, a gentleman named Dr. David Morenz, who is Dr. Fauci's second in command at the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, was in front of Congress, and they had some questions for him because some emails have come to light that actually literally state that they at the National Institutes of Health and the medical community were hiding stuff. They didn't look in certain places they should have looked, and they hid. They had a scheme to get out of Freedom of Information Act requests, which is highly illegal. I want you to hear a little bit about what we're talking about. This is Morenz at the hearing yesterday, cut one.
Is that why you used your Gmail instead of your official mail for communication with Peter?
That was for avoiding more embarrassment and danger to him.
And specifically, as your emails say, avoiding FOIA, correct?
No. Well, yeah, I guess you could say that.
Yeah, I listened to some of that hearing yesterday. Basically, it is this. If you have watched, heard the exchange over the last couple of years between Senator Rand Paul and Dr. Fauci.
Oh, those were stuff of legend.
Yes. Senator Rand Paul questioning the, and Ray, this is putting it mildly, the integrity of Dr. Fauci. What has been discovered in these details of Fauci's colleague here, Dr. Morenz, is there was a very focused, deliberate effort to hide emails from Freedom of Information requests.
Yeah.
All right. Very deliberate. And yesterday during this hearing, Dr. Morenz said, yeah, because he was questioned about the use of the term back channels. Putting information out of the hands of reporters or members of Congress who wanted to have what was going on in conversation between Fauci, Dr. Morenz, with regards to, and there was a particular thing, the source of the virus.
Yep.
Whether it came from a laboratory in Wuhan or whether it came from transmission through animals.
Right.
And basically, Dr. Morenz, in these emails, was saying we want to make sure that emails that may talk about sources that the reporters don't get their hands on these emails.
Let me read from one of the emails, if I might.
Go ahead, yeah.
This is an email from Moran's to one of the EcoHealth Alliance people they were working with named Dazik. And this is what he said. Many FOIAs turn up thousands of pages of docs, and of course, most are meaningless. We are all smart enough to know to never have smoking guns, and if we did, we wouldn't put them in emails, and if we found them, we'd delete them.
Yeah.
Pretty specific, Ray.
Well, you know, earlier you said doing this to avoid FOIA, not just illegal, you said very illegal or extremely, right? So this is deliberate. This is a deliberate admission that they were deleting, they were covering up, they were obfuscating, they were doing whatever was necessary to keep the truth away from the American people. Are we surprised? I don't think so.
Yeah. So I guess why it's important is the medical community and the Biden administration were fixated on narrative. They had a story that they wanted to tell.
Yeah.
And it was that this lab leak, that this virus was caused in the wild, probably a market nearby. Some monkeys transmitted it, it mutated, it came over to men, and that's why. Because, I'll tell you why they were so wanted to hide this. Because, as you mentioned, Dr. Fauci and Rand Paul went back and forth and back and forth, and the topic there was, did you guys manipulate, it's called gain-of-function research, did you guys manipulate the virus? Did you guys make it more transmissible, more lethal? Now, there are legitimate reasons for doing such, one being that you can craft a better vaccine, a traditional vaccine, and learn how to fight it. But since it got out and we had a worldwide pandemic, it kind of points a smoking gun. And Anthony Fauci just over and over and over again said, no, we did not. No, we did not. No, we did not. Well, at a hearing the other day, not this different hearing, they had a deputy director of the NIH, National Institutes of Health. His name is Lawrence Tabak. He was sitting in testimony, and he was questioned by Florida Congresswoman Debbie Lasko, Arizona Congresswoman Debbie Lasko. And I want you to hear a little bit of that. Cut 12.
Did NIH fund gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology through Echo Health?
If you're speaking about the generic term, yes, we did.
Oops.
Wow. You know, this is the thing that Dr. Fauci, under oath, Ray, had denied for months and months and months. And it was, you know, this verbal trickery, I'll call it this, that they try to dance around it, but the truth is coming out right now. And Fauci and Moran's, they've got some dirt underneath their fingernails, Ray.
You know, you wonder, is anything going to happen to Dr. Fauci? Is he going to be, you know, Fred, is he going to be held to account anything more than just what's coming out in these hearings? He ought to be held to account for what he did. I don't know.
Yeah, they should. Because a lot of people, because of the policies that were adopted, which a lot of people in the health industry, a lot of people in the military, they lost their jobs because of all of this. There is so much, in my opinion, that's indictable here as to what happened during this pandemic. At the very least, it must not be allowed to ever happen again. These drug companies that were allowed to develop these vaccines without fear of liability if things went bad, this is the sort of thing that must never happen again. And that's why, Steve, we've been drawing attention to what's happening with the World Health Organization.
Yeah, that's big news too. Yeah,
and it's big news that an important vote is coming up this Monday.
Yep.
Yes, Memorial Day here in the United States. An important vote is coming up. And the big concern is, Steve and Ray, is that the Biden administration is going to turn over to the World Health Organization authority to dictate how countries should respond to future pandemic threats.
Right. They're putting, you know, the lockdowns and all the closures and all the mask mandates that we had before that were many of them ruled unconstitutional.
Yes.
Now we are signing on to a treaty, which they're calling something else so they don't have to vote on it in the Senate, but that would actually put all of those decisions in the hand of the World Health Organization, who could mandate them globally. And you know what, Ray, what one of the most sinister things is about this? They are deciding that climate change could be a pandemic issue that they could control.
Yeah. Look, once you create this multinational global health organization and give them the power to quote, pass the regulations when a pandemic comes, guess what's going to happen, folks? You're going to have another pandemic, and it's going to be worse than the one that we just went through 4 years ago. This is extremely dangerous. You hear us talking about moves toward globalism and one world government. This is a huge step toward that. So when is this vote coming up?
Coming up on Monday, this coming Monday.
They are going to vote on they're trying to get a draft complete.
Yes.
So there's a series of votes that has to happen, I think. But there's a meeting of World Health people this Monday, and they want to have this draft done by then. And all indications are that the United States and the Biden administration is fully on board.
And what you said a few moments ago, people need to understand. They're not calling it a treaty for a reason.
Right.
Because constitutionally, for the United States to be involved with a treaty, it has to go through Congress.
Right.
So they call it something else. An agreement or something of that nature. This is the kind of thing Dr. Robert Malone, you've talked to. Tony Perkins on Washington Watch has been...
Michelle Bachmann.
Doing a lot of programs on this, warning people. You should get in touch with your member of Congress, folks, and just make sure that the opposition is on the record to this, because this is serious stuff.
And even though they call it an agreement or whatever, according to the actual document, what they come up with will be legally binding the countries that sign on.
Yeah. Well, I just hope that there's enough opposition. It's good that this is happening in election year, because if the United States, if the Biden administration agrees to go along with this, this ought to become a huge election issue.
Yeah.
And, you know, the American people need to be educated on this. You know, Ray, it's hard to believe. We've talked now, you know, just in the last few minutes about the invasion on our southern border, which has happened since Joe Biden became president. We're talking now about warnings about basically giving up our sovereignty when it comes to healthcare policy to a world organization. There is enough that has happened in the last 3.5 years during this administration, not to mention Joe Biden's war on the petroleum industry and all of this sort of thing. There is so much out there. I think the American people are catching on to this, that we have an administration that wants to fundamentally change the United States, and they'll step over anybody who gets in their way.
This World Health Organization, first of all, it's almost unbelievable to me. They could bypass Congress. You could make a sweeping change like this and not have a vote in the House and not have a vote in the Senate. The administration just agrees to it, signs on to it. Then, as you said, Steve, it becomes legally binding. How in the world is it possible to do that without having a vote in the Congress? Because they know that I don't know about the Senate, this would never pass.
Well, you know, they never had a single vote anywhere on all of the mandates we had during the pandemic.
I guess that's true. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of set us up for this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Folks, if you're listening, this network has been busy. We're chronicling all of this. Steve, you've done a number of stories on this. We've done stories on the border. You know, listeners to this network cannot say, "Gee, I didn't know anything about these things." And as I say, other programs beyond today's issues, our newscasts, we're doing this because I do believe there is an agenda to fundamentally change the United States of America.
Indeed, there is. You mentioned election issues. One of the things that President Biden, and it has to do with the border you were talking about. Did you guys play the clip about Bill Malusian, where all those
theaters
were from?
Yes.
One of the things that's coming into criticism, of course, is the border policy, Biden's complete ambivalence about what's going on in in Israel, the whole Russia fiasco that they're sending money to Ukraine hand over foot, and it's been one foreign policy disaster after another, which Ted Cruz yesterday was more than willing to talk about when he was talking with Tony Blinken. This is cut 10.
Senator. Mr. Secretary, you have presided over the worst foreign policy disaster of modern times. When Joe Biden became president, he inherited peace and prosperity in the world. We now have two simultaneous wars waging, the worst war in Europe since World War II and the worst war in the Middle East in 50 years. Both, I believe, were caused by this administration's consistent weakness. And indeed, your foreign policy is precisely backwards from what a rational American foreign policy should be. To our friends and allies, this administration has consistently undermined, weakened, and attacked them. And to our enemies, this administration has shown constant appeasement and indeed has flowed billions of dollars to the enemies of America who want to kill us.
Yeah, that's quite a summary there, Ray, from Senator Ted Cruz. But that's the political environment we find ourselves in, and I think it's absolutely atrocious. Talk about border, talk about health policy, talk about the economy, and now we can talk about what's been going on in our country with regards to basically undermining Israel at a time when it's fighting a war against Hamas terrorists. What this administration has done, first of all, in the threat not to send weapons anymore to Israel, undermining the authority of Prime Minister Netanyahu, and the Ted Cruz was addressing Secretary of State Antony Blinken in that. All of these things, and now you have other states that are talking about a Palestinian state, an independent Palestinian state. Who's going to run that? You've got Islamic terrorists in the West Bank, and you've got Hamas terrorists running Gaza. We're actually going to try to force Israel to say you can have an independent state of your own. These are all things that are beginning to add up in the minds, Ray, of the American voter, and they're scratching their heads and saying, what is going on here?
Well, first of all, you've got these countries, and there were several yesterday, who said they're recognizing a Palestinian state. They're recognizing something that does not exist.
Yeah.
There is no Palestinian state because there is no Palestinian government. It's not to say that there couldn't be a two-state solution, because there has been support in Israel for that. But how do you have a two-state solution when one state is dedicated to the obliteration of the other state?
Yes.
From the river to the sea, Palestine will be free. So why would Israel ever agree to something like that? I think Joe Biden's real problem is with his own party. The far left of the Democrat Party, I don't know, it's left, far left, extreme left, and way over there, over the edge. They have a lot of influence. AOC and the Squad, I mean, they are as rabidly anti-Israel as you could be. They're the source of a great deal of anti-Semitism. So the president, who with some degree of formality says he is for the nation of Israel, how can you be for Israel when you're trying to pressure them to stop what they are doing in Gaza, which is the only hope of establishing peace over there?
Yes.
Let me add one more talking point to this. The United States Navy built a pier off of Gaza, over which they have put millions of dollars of U.S. taxpayer dollars aid to the Gazan people.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying that not one piece of that food and clothing or whatever the humanitarian aid got to anybody in Gaza except for Hamas. They stole every one of them and at gunpoint,
yes,
kept the Gazan people who were starving away from it.
Well, it's not only that, Doc, but the United Nations in the last few days has stopped the aid coming in from Egypt as well into Rafah, that southern city, because of just as you've outlined there, Hamas taking control of it. And the United Nations has had to stop that. Hamas owns Gaza. That is the reason that Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel has said, We cannot stop this until we annihilate Hamas. And up to a few weeks ago, there were a few brigades still left in Rafah of Hamas fighters. And people are being fooled by the fact, you know who's putting out the figures of fatalities in Gaza? Hamas. Hamas is putting those out there. You know, so you want to trust this terrorist organization?
Joe Biden used Hamas figures, which had to be revised down by 50% because the UN used them, and he used those figures in a State of the Union address.
Yes.
So one of the things that we are most we most appreciate about former President Trump when he was in office is what he did to the courts.
Yes.
He appointed three Supreme Court justices,
mm-hmm.
and he appointed a bevy of lower court federal federal appeals court judges. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals used to be the most overturned circuit in the country by far, and now they actually have a conservative bent a little bit. So he did one of his greatest impacts he had on the country was the judges.
Yes.
Well, Joe Biden has taken a page out of his book and is currently outpacing former President Trump with these lower court appointments. He hasn't had a chance to appoint anybody to the Supreme Court, and people are worried that if Trump gets back in, he'll have maybe up to three more appointments at the Supreme Court. But what Joe Biden is doing to the federal bench right now could have long-term consequences. So when we get these decisions, like our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom, these religious freedom cases, if you have a whole bunch of Biden-appointed judges, a lot less likely to go our way.
Right. It's one of the key things that, when whoever is controlling the White House and they have a partnership with their party in the Senate. And, when it comes to these judges, and this has been going on, I think you said he's a Biden administration has gotten, 200 nominees through?
Yes.
Since he came into office. They have tremendous sway, as we have seen, over what happens in this country, over dictating how cases go, very important cases when it comes to pro-life cases, when it comes really to freedoms that the American people enjoy, when it comes to religious freedom. These courts have so much sway over this. Joe Biden is not out celebrating the fact that he's got 200 judges there, not publicly, but he knows the importance, Ray, of getting these judges appointed that have a particular worldview.
There are times when I think the Democrats are smarter than the Republicans. At least they understand what's really at stake here.
Uh-huh.
Joe Biden understands that he wants to shift the U.S. judiciary to an extreme left liberal position, and he's done it. And by the way, friends, remember what happened in 2022. We were all talking about the big red wave that was going to sweep over the country. Well, a lot of things happened. You can point fingers in a lot of directions, but instead of taking over the Senate, it remained in the hands of the Democrats. You know, Fred, those numbers would be different.
Yes.
If the Republicans held a 52-48 majority in the Senate, there would not be all these confirmations going through. So it's not just who's in the White House, it's who's in the Senate. Makes a great deal of difference for which judges are held up and which judges are approved. And I tell you what, if you don't like the fact that Joe Biden has gotten 200 judges confirmed, if you don't like that and I don't like it, then we're going to have to see somebody else in the White House starting next January.
Somebody else in the White House, and you mentioned control of the Senate.
Yes.
That is very close, and there are great opportunities for the Republicans to put some conservatives in. West Virginia looks like it's going to switch Republican, the Senate seat there, and there's a few others. So pay attention, folks. Pay attention to what's going on out there because elections, as our boss Tim often says, elections have consequences. Steve Jordahl, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Ray Pritchard, thank you so much.
Get on that bike
and work off that pancake.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Tim Wildman, our guest.
To Chris Woodward and, of course, always our producer, Brent Creeley. And to you folks, thank you for listening. Stay tuned for much more great programming right here on American Family Radio. See you again soon.